afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and lots of political events today. And today is Friday, January 20th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Al, We have a new president.
We do.
Yes, we do. And how about that?
Did they have an inauguration or something?
Something like that.
Did they have some sort of presidential ball?
Not, well, there was tonight.
And I wasn't invited? Well?
I don't have anything to say after that.
You don't have anything to say after that?
That does not require a response, Al.
Wait a second. Were you invited?
Well. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
But I wouldn't disclose it on them. Anyway, I couldn't find the proper dress.
Yeah. You could borrow one from.
What, Melania,
you could borrow one from Michelle. You could maybe the one with the black dress with the red patch and the metal made her look like what? The Black Widow.
I'll tell you what, Melania looked very beautiful today. Her dress was stunning.
Yeah. I saw pictures of her.
Very. You know, I mean, I'm just talking about her dress. Her dress was stunning, a very, very classy, very, well, if you're a billionaire, you should be able to look nice, yeah. But very nice, very stunning, and compared to what I saw, now we're not going into fashion reporting here, but pictures of, well, I watched on C-SPAN the inauguration, and they had Michelle Obama, she looked rather rough. She looked like it's like she didn't have makeup on. Her hair wasn't done. She had on this bulky dress and coat. I don't even think she had heels on. I think she had flats. And I'm thinking, this is. I mean, it was just, you know, sometimes you just see the true colors, and I don't know.
It's a sad day for Michelle. She's going to have to start paying for her own vacations now, and she won't be able to bring 100 people along as part of her entourage and whatever.
Do you know what I did see, though? I saw, and I'm going to tell the listeners, I was telling you prior to the program, we'll talk a little bit more about the inauguration after the market update. C-SPAN did an excellent job on the inauguration, on the swearing in and so forth. I mean, just, there was no commentators, there was, you know, it was just the, you know, and they had cameras everywhere, so they did an exceptional job. Only during their luncheon, when they were actually serving the food, did they cut away, and they had a woman on there, and she was taking calls and so forth. During that time, there is a social video of Michelle and Barack, and they're talking about their presidential foundation in Chicago. And I'm thinking to myself, they're not even out a day, an hour. It wasn't even an hour. And this maybe it's been circulating longer than today, but this was the first time I saw it or heard about it. And they want to hear from the people of the country. They want them, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, the Clintons shut down theirs, and then you know, Obama's opens there, but I guess Chicago is where they're going to have their presidential library, but he called it a foundation, and I just thought, man, they didn't even get out, and already they were pumping.
More money,
yeah.
Melody.
So,
I mean, you lose
and
one job, you
got to
get another one.
They did make a comment, you will be hearing from us. We're not going to go away. You will be hearing from us. And I thought, oh, goody. And it was funny, too, and I'm sure all the listeners heard this one, too. C-SPAN. Well, they were watching after he was sworn in. They were walking out of the Capitol building so Obama could get into the helicopter, and they were taking him to the Air Force Base, so they were going to fly to Palm Springs, in which I also found out that they actually purchased a home in Palm Springs, which I hadn't heard that before. But anyway, as they were walking out, Barack was walking next to President Trump, and he says, well, you know, we'll just be right around the corner. Like, hey, if you need anything, hey,
yeah, right
around the corner. And I was just like, you couldn't hear what Trump's response was, if there was one, or maybe he was just, you know, thanks but no thanks, but my daughter's right around the corner too. I don't know, but it was. I thought, did I hear that right? Did he actually say we're just around the corner? And he did. So it was kind of weird.
Well, funny. It's going to be interesting. You know, we see presidents, after they get to be president, they actually seem to make peace with their adversary in the presidential contest.
Because it's a special place.
You see Clinton and Bush's, they were close ultimately. It seemed like they were natural enemies, but they wound up being close before it was all over. I wonder if we're going to see Trump and Obama become buddies.
I don't think any of them have actually become buddies, but they accept,
well, they look like
they accept their positions, and there is a certain amount of...
I don't know. There's got to be a certain amount of mutual respect, because yeah. It's an aggravating job.
Well, it's not an aggravating job.
They're the yeah, it is. It ages people.
They are the president of the most powerful country in the world. So it is a special and elect small group that get this position. So, no, I... that doesn't mean they can't disrespect, or they can't disagree with, their views. But we'll talk a little bit more about the inauguration here in just a little bit, because there is a couple of things that I wanted to say about it. But gold, after the markets closed, there was a little bit of pressure both on the Dow today and the precious metals. And a little bit of a turnaround here in the last hour or so. You have gold up 340 today at 1208.90. We did have a high of 1215 and a low of 1199. So a little bit of a spread there. Silver was up 4 cents today at 1713. Platinum was up over 2%, $20, 981. But palladium was the star of the day, up almost up over 4.5%. Up $34, $790. The USDX today was trading down slightly, 0.27 at 100.88. And crude oil up 105 at 52.33. And the paper markets today, they struggled a little bit. I think most of it, they are waiting for Monday. Supposedly, the chatter is they will be working, then the new administration will be working this weekend, and on Monday they're to release some sort of tax reforms. Now, whether it's the whole thing or just a little nibble or just a little insight as to what the taxes, the tax reforms will be, maybe the markets are waiting, and hey, maybe you can see the markets if it's the markets approve. Maybe it will actually close up over 20,000 points on Monday, but we'll see. But it was up 94 today, 19,827. Yeah, the NASDAQ up 15 at 55.55, and the S&P was up 7 at 22.71. 10-year yield 2.47, euro 107. And I really didn't follow much news today, because I did watch much of the inauguration the inaugural or the swearing in on C-SPAN. They did an excellent job, as I'd mentioned earlier. And I don't know if you want to talk about his speech, but to me, it wasn't his speech or his promises that moved me. I mean, promises are always good to hear, but what really moved me about his speech was there was a time when he was talking about, you know, the military is going to protect us and this is going to protect us, and he ended it with, "We will be protected by God." And to me, that was probably the most moving and the most powerful moment of his whole speech that he gave after he was sworn in. And It was just like it changed something, because I believed, and I do believe, we can't change this country until we have backing by God. And I don't, and I'm thinking, well, it was just how he said it that, you know what, that inspired me, that gave me hope. It wasn't all his, you know, oh, we're bringing jobs and, you know, the power back to the people. It was his one little statement, "We will be protected by God." And it moved me. It moved me.
Bible says you want God to turn back to you, you have to turn back to him. And it's incumbent on us to make that turn. If we want God's support, we got to turn back to the good Lord. And
I know a lot of people prayed for him. And so, you know, that doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. That doesn't mean that, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out there who lose a lot of money and so forth. We still got a lot of issues. But, and it, I don't even know if it was hope, but it did kind of bring back part of, there was like a patriotic pride.
No, I understand. And you have to wonder how much of that patriotic pride is that enough to put this country back on its feet? We've got fundamental problems that we talk about on this program on a regular basis, but one of the programs is we haven't had much optimism in this country for some number of years. All of a sudden, Trump has restored that optimism in a lot of people, at least temporarily. Is that enough? Can we restore this country? Can we rebuild this country with nothing more than an optimistic spirit? Is that enough to do it, or will the optimism fade in the face of fundamental problems where they said, well, it's nice that you feel good about it, you know, we're all inspired, but we still have problems that we may not be able to easily overcome. And it's going to be a test. We're going to learn things here. We're going to find out, is that enough to feel good about the economy, finally feel optimism and positive and be inspired? Is that enough where people work harder, work smarter, whatever, and all of a sudden it comes together and everything is restored? So it'll be interesting. I am inclined to believe that the optimism is not enough myself. I think that regardless of our good feelings and our goodwill and whatever else you can find in the Trump presidency, there's still fundamentals that are going to be difficult to deal with. But the optimism may help. Maybe we can do a better job of dealing with them. But it seemed, you know, when Obama was there, it seemed like everything was going down the pipe and there was nothing we could do about it. But now it seems that maybe we can. Maybe we can. There's hope. There's hope. Maybe we can do something.
Well, I think there's things that we can do in various areas, and he might be very successful at. But I also agree that a lot of these areas is all tied to our monetary policies. Mm-hmm. That has to be corrected. He can't spend $1 trillion on infrastructure spending, and that's what he's looking for. You can't spend another $1 trillion, or can we go into debt another $10 trillion in order to do the things that need to be done? I mean, certainly, you know, there's going to be a lot of give and take in a lot of areas. Yeah, you might save some in one area, but you're going to be spending, you know, some in the others. That means we're just really not getting ahead and really not helping with the debt or anything. Maybe the debt isn't growing, but it isn't going away either. And I don't think people don't realize how much $20+ trillion is.
And it may be much plus. There's some people who believe there's $100 trillion. John Williams, Congressional Budget Office, and economist Clarence Kotlikoff say, no, there's over $200 trillion in debt, including unfunded liabilities. There's no telling how big that debt really is. But one of the things about it, when we have a debt-based monetary system, I mean, Trump is trying to cut the debt, I think, right? He's trying to cut the debt from the reports I've seen. We'll watch and see how this works out. I don't know if you can cut the debt in a debt-based monetary system.
You have to continue to grow it.
Yeah, the debt must continue to increase or else the whole thing is going to collapse. We can't be reasonable, rational, fair, system based on assets and the rest of that sort of thing. We are caught in a nightmare of fiat debt-based currency, and we cannot continue this game. It's like a Ponzi scheme. That's what it comes down to, really. It's the debt-based monetary system is like a Ponzi scheme, and if we get to the point where people are they say, that's it, I'm not going any deeper into debt, this thing's going to fold up like an accordion. And I don't, you know, I may be mistaken in that opinion, but it's clear to me that if I'm right, I don't think Trump understands that idea. And it wouldn't surprise me, and the good chance maybe Trump is right and I'm wrong, but I'm still telling you, I don't think they can stop growing the debt without collapsing a debt-based monetary system. I think it has to grow. And this is why Trump even said he part of his projection was they wanted to increase the debt by another $10 trillion over the course of the next 10 years. That would be about the same as Obama did. Mm-hmm. Right? I think that, to me, is evidence that they do know. They say we can't get rid of the debt unless we get rid of the debt-based monetary system. And how are we going to do that in a way that's painless and not cause for revolution in this country?
And I agree. I believe a lot of these trade agreements, they will be improved on. I do believe that. Yeah. There's going to be certain areas that they'll be improved on. I get it. I mean, they are, you know, I mean, look at NAFTA. It was, you know, actually it was Bush who started the trade NAFTA, the trade agreement NAFTA, and it was only Clinton who signed it into law. So, but look how long ago that is. Look how different the world is today than it was 20 years ago. I mean, it really is incredible. Yeah, they're all going to be updated and changed and so forth. They'll be able to make changes there. We'll have the changes in what he promised, Obamacare, the wall, and the trade agreements. But when it comes to our fiscal policy, plus we're forgetting something else too. We can do these changes, you know, work on what I just mentioned, but let's not forget about the rest of the world. You know, we're already webbed. We're already weaved into all of these other global economies. Japan, China, Europe. We have France. Le Pen's going to win. She's another Trump, only in France. She's going to pull out of the EU, you know, the next day she's in there. You have other elections. You have Merkel's not going to be able to stay in there. She'll be voted out quicker than you can say Germany. You've got, you know, what's the other election? Italy has elections. So you're going to have, and the Brexit begins. So there's a lot of turmoil. And when you look at, you know, when you have Theresa May over here this week talking to, you know, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, you know, oh, please don't pull your, you know, we still want to do business with you guys and so forth and whatnot. There's big concerns. So we don't know how this is all going to work out. But our monetary policies, whether it be just here in the States or whether it be globally, all of these different countries are going to have to do their own thing. And so something could happen over there. We could be going along easy peasy, but something over there, and we'll feel the effects of it. So
this globalist system is like one of those old Rube Goldberg machines that are, if you can remember those cartoons, folks, that come back from the 30s and 40s. Just also fantastically complicated, interrelated, and if one thing goes wrong, a lot of stuff, bad things can happen. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about $20 gold pieces, but I'm going to ask you, Al, did you want to wait until the next break to do that, or should I continue on my little venture here? And
you can go right ahead and continue, Melody. Now, you have my permission.
Well, you know, one of my suppliers sent me over a special day on Mint State 64 $20 gold pieces. So I did my, and I mentioned yesterday we were going to do something on $20 gold pieces, and I did the Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens. And it is one of the most popular grades to own for the $20 gold pieces on the St. Gaudens. And given that the St. Gaudens were minted after the Liberties, they're a little bit newer, they've experienced a little less use and circulation, so they're very beautiful coins. They're very beautiful coins and very affordable than the Mint State 64 Liberty counterpart. According to PCGS, the Professional Coin Grading Company, there's only 245,000 $20 St. Gaudens gold coins that exist in Mint State 64. That really isn't a whole lot, folks. It's not a lot at all.
It would be enough for me, Melody.
You think it'd be enough for you? Yeah, I'd take 245,000 of them. But considering the population of all the coins, and of course considering the buyers and so forth, it's a very low mintage of Mint State 64 $20 gold pieces. And they are near cycle lows in terms of their premiums to underlying gold value. Their highest rarity levels were achieved in the 80s. We had some very good levels achieved in 2011. They were selling close to $2,500.
At a time when gold was how much?
Gold was at that point around $1,200.
So it was double. The premium was 100% is what you're saying. There was 100% premium on the coin.
Let me get to this point. Cycle lows have shown premiums as low as 1.2%, which is about 20% over gold. And in 2009, we saw premiums at 2.2 times the price of gold. So it was so it would have been a little bit lower in 2009. You hear people say, "Oh, you don't want to buy these coins, blah blah blah. Nobody wants them; they're bad to have." That's not true.
It's like Van Gogh paintings. Nobody wants those either.
That's not
Picasso,
really true.
Nobody wants
say,
those either.
Well, now these same people who say this. What they do is they'll throw you into gold certificates or shares.
Yeah.
And you can't compare the performance of it, and they'll want to sell you bullion gold. You can't compare the performance of a $20 gold piece with a bullion coin. It's like apples and oranges. But you can compare, to some degree, a $20 gold piece to shares. When you look at the performance, when you look at the supply and demand, when you look at the additional value over what the melt value of the coin is, that's how they sell you shares. Supply and demand. These shares are going to go up more than the spot price of gold. Well, so are the $20 gold pieces. But yet you have something that's real, not a piece of paper. It will never go to zero. So it gives you the same type of performance, but it provides far more privacy than that paper certificate gold or the shares that they try to give you. And but we're having that special today on Mint State 64, $20 gold pieces, $1,398. And that includes your shipping costs. You're looking at about $125 over an American Gold Eagle coin. I mean, I don't think I've
ever... Or collectible.
Yes. Yeah. A Mint State 64, $1,398. That includes your shipping costs. It's an incredible buy. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. If I looked at a lower grade, a Mint State 62 from a 1-ounce Gold Eagle, you're only looking at a $40 spread. $40 over what you can buy an American Gold Eagle for a Mint State 62 St. Gaudens. The point I'm bringing that up is to show you how tiny these spreads are. And I think we're going to have a very good year in gold. And I think you're going to see, again, these coins outperform the spot price of bullion gold. So, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188.
An article here, from this moment on, America First, Trump inauguration address, couple of key sound bites from Trump. Here's the first one. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. That's absolutely true. I mean, that's absolutely true. Next one. For many decades, we've enriched...
But aren't the people the ones who vote for the party that controls...
Well, yeah, in general, but yeah. What he's getting down to, if what he's implying is that the government is not just where the people exert their will once every 4 years to decide who's going to be president, or every 2 years to decide who's going to be in the House of Representatives. What he's saying is that the government must... What he's implying is that the government must work for the benefit of the people.
I think
the control isn't just once every 4 years when we get involved in a presidential election. It's every day where the people in government say, this is what is right for the people, and this is what we must do. We must act as if we were controlled on a daily basis by the people, not every 4 years.
And I think that was that message in that statement was to the other politicians.
Yeah, I'd say so too.
Yeah, it's directed to them.
And beyond that, though, it's also evidence of this populism, right? He's saying it doesn't matter whether the government is controlled by the Republicans or the Democrats. It's ultimately got to be controlled by the people, by the public, by the populism, that populist movement that helped put Trump in office in the first place. And he's what's good about this is it's evidence that he's sticking by his guns. Now, maybe he's going to compromise and some of the things he promised. I mean, they all make promises, and most of them can't complete all their promises. But at least you have some hope. Trump is still saying, yeah, this is populism, and he's for it. Next one, he says, for many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores with not even a thought about the millions upon millions of American workers left behind. Again, he's talking about the American people. He's saying, the key to this country is not making sure that Jamie Dimon and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates can make billions of dollars. That's not what keeps us. Something's got to be done about the millions of American workers. Again, we're hearing about it. This is evidence of populism. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed across the entire world. Again, more populism. He's trying to say, look, we're going to take care of that middle class. We're going to rebuild the middle class. And it's, you know, I'm touched. I'm inspired. We'll watch and see. Anybody can make these kinds of statements, but still, I think Trump might give it a shot. From this moment on, it's going to be America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. I mean, who has said that, thought that, done that? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think back. You'd have to go back to somebody like Reagan to even have pay lip service to that idea. We're going to do what's right for the American people. Populism, again, another one for populism. He says we will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of this earth. Now, that has nothing to do with populism, but he's saying we're going to get the Muslims. We're going to get the radical Muslims anyway. He's declaring war on them, and he said, no screw around. You guys are in big trouble. We're coming for you now. He finally says we must think big and dream even bigger. You know, it's something of a platitude, but regardless, I thought it was the points he's making here. I hope the good Lord gives him the strength to do what he's talking about. Right? I know he's talking. I think he's, you know, I've heard politicians before. They fooled me and they said what I wanted to hear. He's saying what I want to hear. Right? Maybe more than I wanted to hear, more than I expected to hear. Right? But I'm pleased with what pleased with what I see. You know, a speech doesn't mean all that much. It's a certain amount of cheerleading, you know. But nevertheless, we have a moment here that is, for me, as you said earlier, a certain amount of inspirational.
Absolutely. And I believe I read today that his inauguration sets the record for the most prayers.
I don't know what's that.
Was it Graham? Frank Graham? He was one of the, after he was sworn in, there was three of them that gave a prayer. He said in the Bible, he says, rain is a sign of God's blessing. And it started to rain when Mr. Trump went to the platform to be signed in. So, luckily it was a
well, there's mixed opinion. Rain may be a sign of God's blessing, but then there's the story about Noah and the ark. And for a lot of people, it didn't work out. It's quite a blessing, but we'll watch and see, and we'll hope that we won't need an ark, that we will be blessed.
I'm not going to argue with Mr. Graham, so, you know, it does leave you warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
And I think it's time this country had some warm and fuzzy. And
can you imagine Hillary Clinton leaving us warm and fuzzy?
Oh, my gosh.
I can't even conceive of it. I can't conceive of Hillary delivering a speech that would leave me warm and fuzzy. And I wonder how many people are. And I know there's all kinds of people that half the country supported Hillary, you know, with great enthusiasm. But even them, I wonder if she could leave any of those warm and fuzzy. Could she really inspire or just promise to give them more loot? Anything.
Well, I'm not going to, debate this. Now, I mean, it's done and over with. But the Democrats, if they had had Bernie Sanders in there,
yeah,
we'd be looking at a different president. I think Bernie Sanders would have beat Trump. But so whatever reason, whatever they promised her, and, you know, she promised whoever's. Thank goodness that he wasn't. So, again, maybe another intervention there so that he wasn't the nominee for the Democrats, because I think he would have beat Trump. But
I don't think he would have myself.
Absolutely.
I don't think he had the same machinery behind him. He may have had a certain amount of popular support, but Hillary had a machine behind her that was potentially able to steal the election. I don't think Bernie Sanders ever had that capability. He might be able to win the voters.
Right?
He
would have had that personality to Trump with his voters on the other 50%. And there was a lot of people who voted for Trump because they couldn't stand Hillary. Those people would have voted for Bernie Sanders.
Maybe.
And I think that would have pushed him above. So it would have been, it might not have been, so that's just how, you know. The youth, how much of the youth didn't vote because Bernie Sanders wasn't their nominee? You add in the youth, yeah. And he could have very well
the
have
truth
beat
of the,
Trump.
Sanders, in his own way, despite being leftist and
arguably communist,
well, not just that he's a likable guy, but he really was a populist in his own way. All right, he was trying to do what was right for the vast, what he thought was right for the vast majority of the American people. He certainly wasn't here to support Wall Street. He
wasn't an elitist, an establishment guy. Was he a populist? He was a socialist.
I understand that he's socialist, but still the idea, and I think he's sincere. I don't agree with him, but I think he's sincere in the idea we got to do somehow more for the American people. Well, he and
Trump were both populists from that perspective. Not all the American people, just a select group of Americans.
Whatever, whatever.
Which
still
makes him the socialist communist. He wasn't a populist.
Well, I think if he's working allegedly for the benefit of the people,
half of the people,
it was just evidence that this idea about populism, this thing is whoever wanted to grab hold of it, whoever got hold of it, they caught the right wave. The public was in a mood to do what's right for the American people rather than what's right for Wall Street, foreign countries, New World Order. We got 100 things that we're abandoning the American people for to support these other causes. And the American, would somebody please stand up and do what's right for us? And Trump said, yeah, buddy, I will. And people said, we're for him. Now, but a lot of people also said, we're for Bernie Sanders. Again, I think a lot of the support for Sanders was based on the perception from a leftist perspective that the people are being left behind. Not enough jobs, education is not working right, whatever. And they were still dealing with the government, and the politicians from both parties had forgotten the middle class, middle America. They'd been forgotten, abandoned, betrayed. And if anybody had stood up and said, we're going to try to do what's right for the American people, and I think they could have been elected. Hillary, I don't think Hillary ever said that in a way that people believed. She was going to do what was right for the American people. Hillary was going to do what was right for the Clinton Foundation and get another speaking fee for $500,000 or whatever to go talk to some people in Wall Street. Any case, populism seems to be an idea whose time has come, not just here, but also in Great Britain with Brexit, and we see it in France with Marine Le Pen. We see it, you know, Greece to some extent. Italy. What's his name? Beppo. I don't recall his entire name, but former comedian, head of the Five-Star Party or whatever in Italy. Again, people, the governments of the world, of much of the world, has gone too far. They've taken too much from the people who just want to support themselves and get by. And the governments have treated them with contempt and disrespect and said, we need your money and we're going to take it and use it for our great idea. New world order, global free trade. We've got ideas, and to heck with the American people or the people of Italy or the people of France. Well, the people are saying, to heck with you elitists, to heck with the establishment. We're going and we're going to do what's right for us. We're tired of sacrificing in the name of trying to help somebody else who's got a hard problem. We're going to do what's right for us. So, Trump is our president. Marine Le Pen may be the next leader of France. Beppe Greco, he may be, you know. We'll see how it all works out. I'm Alfred Addis. We're going to take another break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Would you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival for the last segment to the last day of this week. Melody?
And no more Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And the last day, well, I guess yesterday or this morning was his last.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, I know. Yay. You know, when we were talking earlier during one of the breaks, and we were talking about a Barack Obama. He's been here for 8 years. Doesn't seem like that long to me. It seems like he'd only been here for about 2 or 3 years, and he was just kind of getting started, and he got voted out after his first term in office. This is the way it feels to me. But during his administration, at times I felt like, my God, will it ever end? But now that it's over, it seems like a fairly brief unpleasantness. And what's surprising to me is he leaves office as perhaps the most respected man in America, according to one survey.
Ratings are still high.
I mean, oh my God, somebody, I don't know what they're smoking or what they're feeding me. Maybe somebody is drugging my water. I don't know. But I just don't get how anyone could, a significant number of people, say he's the most respected man in America. I don't know.
Well, Al, the one thing I will tell you, though, that they say is the older you get, the time goes by
faster.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I'm aware.
Melody. Maybe that's why it just seems like it was 2 years.
Yeah, maybe so.
Anyway, but I think this year again, you know, I don't mean to be going back to gold, but I'm going to here briefly. We talked about this, I might have on Thursday of last week, about how gold performs when you have this presidential transition. And usually gold will outperform the S&P 500 when a new chief comes in. And so you have a lot of people that are getting ready for the bullion rally, the gold bullion rally. So as underpriced as it is, it certainly has a huge upside potential for gold during this presidential 4 years, the change in power. Gold has averaged gains of almost 15% in years, marking the inauguration of a new president since the 70s. Advancing in 5 of those 7 years. In contrast, the S&P 500 index of equities declined in 4 of those years for an average loss over the period of 0.9%. From presidents Gerald Ford to Obama, bullion has often served as a haven in times of political flux. You know, usually the Republicans, when it's in a Republican deal, they're usually a little more, you know, fiscal, try to be, or at least they present.
They talk about it.
But they never are.
They're the party that talks about being fiscally responsible, and the Democrats, they don't even waste their time. We're not going to be fiscally responsible. Come on over to our side, and we'll give you some free money.
Yeah. But the metal has, gold has climbed almost 5% this year as questions over the possible economic impact of Trump's policies. A lot of economists believe that gold will extend its gains as Trump's fiscal stimulus program and tensions with trading partners include China sort of unnerve investors. So we're really not sure what's going to happen. Axel Merck of Merck Investments LLC, which manages about $300 million in assets, which is a lot, but in today's term, it doesn't seem like a lot anymore. But still, he says gold is relatively undervalued and will push higher And as I do, I believe it will too. Because I do think there is that uncertainty of what is going to happen. If you look at Trump's statements and he talks about, eradicating the radical
Muslims,
ISIS, and so forth, that means, it's a great price today, folks. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
An article here from CNBC. It's one of two that kind of demonstrates a little bit of the conflicting, contrasting opinions on where we're going and what we're going to see in this country. Warren Buffett says the U.S. will do fine under Trump because we've got the secret sauce. That's the headline from CNBC. I'm not sure what the secret sauce is, and they're not going to tell us, but he claims we've got it. Hillary Clinton backer Warren Buffett told CNBC on the eve of Donald Trump's inauguration that the billionaire real estate mogul has the most important job in the world. Well, no kidding. America works, the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway said. I've said this before. It'll work wonderfully under Hillary Clinton, and I think it'll work fine under Donald Trump. I don't agree with that. All right? It is not enough to sit back and say, America, we'll do fine no matter what idiot they put in the White House. Some of these idiots really do us harm. And some may actually do us some good. And I think it does make a difference. And Buffett, he's arguing it wouldn't make much difference whether we had Hillary or Trump. Well, it might not make much difference, but only in the sense that neither one of them is going to be able to stop the trouble that may be headed our way. The article continues. It says, at a red carpet event Thursday in New York for a new HBO documentary about his life, Buffett told CNBC, the United States has the secret sauce. It doesn't work all the time perfectly, but you just look at where we go, milestone after milestone. Never bet against America. There's a point to that. We have resources, we have land, we have space, we are in many and perhaps most regards the single most blessed nation on the face of this earth. The problem is we've had idiots in the White House and in Congress and in the Senate who've been willing to squander those resources and squander those blessings for the benefit of programs that don't serve the American people but serve, who knows, New World Order, whatever. Reiterating his call to invest for the long haul. And I agree with that. Buffett acknowledged that he doesn't know where stock market will go in the next 10 days or a year or 2 years. But one thing he said he does know, it's going to be higher 10, 20 years from now. I would agree with that. I would agree that the odds are this nation is going to be stronger 10 or 20 years from now than it is today. And we will be doing better. But I would contend that before we get to that 10 or 20 year mark where things are rosy, or at least compared to today, we're going to go through 4 or 5 years that are going to be very, very difficult and painful. And David Stockman, who is he's director of the Office of Management and Budget under President Ronald Reagan, he's quoted Newsmax. They've got Newsmax, and it says, David Stockman, I see fiscal bloodbath, recession under Trump. Now, Buffett thinks everything's going to be rosy, and Stockman says, no, it's going to hit the fan, and we'll see who's telling the truth. But the article says former Reagan economic advisor David Stockman is standing by his warning for investors to sell all their stocks despite the markets seemingly setting record highs every day. According to Stockman, I see a recession coming down the pipe in 2017. The stock market is going to go down, and it's going to stay down long and hard because for the first time in 25 years, there's nothing to bail it out. My earlier call still stands. He told a year ago or more, he advocated sell the stock, sell the bonds, and he's doing the same thing. But when he does it, he says sell the stocks, sell the bonds. He's saying sell the paper debt instruments, all right? And he goes on, he says, get out of the casino. Bonds have already cratered by merely $2 trillion worldwide and have miles to go. This isn't a rotation into stocks either. It's the greatest sucker's rally ever. So he predicts an unprecedented fiscal bloodbath.
Stockman warned that Washington will be in chaos by June. This is January. It's five more months. Stockman predicts outgoing disruptions from the Tea Party, which won't allow additional deficit increases. Right. He predicts that Trump won't be able to pass a bipartisan stimulus plan and fulfill his promise to repeal and replace Obamacare. I don't know that I agree that he's not going to be able to repeal and replace Obamacare. Trump won't be able to enact a meaningful tax cut or develop a major infrastructure program. Pessimistic, it might be true. He sees an eventual civil war within the GOP. That strikes me as an interesting prediction. We've already seen something like that in the collapse of the Democratic Party in the context of last November's election. The Democrats are having internal turmoil, but Stockman is predicting that it's also going to strike the GOP, and that's not impossible, but it's a surprising prediction to me. So when the recession hits this summer, the Fed will be out of dry powder, and it means they won't have monetary policy capability to resist the recession that he anticipates. And fiscal policy is what the government does, will be paralyzed. This time, the market will crash and stay crashed. Stockman once again said, advise savvy investors to get gold and cash, that gold and cash are your only safe investment options. I would disagree and say that cash is not a safe investment option, but I can see where it would be better than stocks and bonds, at least in the short term.
And depends on how much money you have, too. But I disagree with you and Donald Trump about the stock market being, you know, in 10 or 20 years higher than what it is today, because I think we'll go along the lines of Japan. I mean, back in the late 80s, you had Japan, the Nikkei, hit their price bubble at, you know, it was almost 40,000. I think it was like 38,000, 39,000. And they dropped, and they've never come back. And I think we'll see that type of thing. I don't believe we'll be higher than, you know, 10 or 20 years from what we are today. We might be off the lows of what we hit if gold and the stocks cross paths at 3,000 or 5,000. Yeah, you know, might come back from the lows, but I don't think we'll match the highs again.
Well, I don't know that we are now. When Buffett was talking about,
I think we're very much like Japan. Very much.
Well, maybe so. I think he's talking about America in general.
He's talking about the stock market. Strong.
No, not necessarily.
Even you said the stock market.
No, I never said
that.
Yes,
you did.
I did not. I wouldn't have said that. Don't be exasperated now, Melody.
Well, I
just said never bet against America.
You
said never bet against America.
Help it.
Yeah, I did say the stock market will go in the next... He said he can't say where it's going to go in the next 10 days or a year or 2 years. He didn't know it's going to have a stock market, but he says it's going to be higher in 10 years, 20 years from now. All right.
And you agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, and I disagree with that.
Well,
I think we'll go along the path of Japan. They've never made it back to that, and they never will. I mean, it was a bubble, and once you hit the bubbles, you just don't go back to those bubbles without the fundamentals that got you to there to, you know, because there weren't fundamentals that got you there to begin with. It was a bubble. So, and I think we're at a bubble. So.
Well, maybe. We'll see. I doubt there's a bunch of bubbles
around
here.
We'll be doing this program
but still,
20 years from today, and I'll bet you $5 I'm right.
For how many years from today?
Get gold. I'll bet you a $5 gold piece.
$5 gold piece.
$5.
All right, who's going to hold it for the next 5 years?
I will.
You're going to hold it. Okay.
I will hold. I'll let Ruby hold it.
I'll send you an IOU. You can hold your gold piece and my IOU for the next
years
5 years.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we got? 2 minutes left, Melody? Something like that? Three?
Something.
Okay. Well, here's another one on Trump. Report Trump actually draining the swamp, preparing huge cuts, according to a new report in The Hill. Trump is all ready to take an axe to government spending, and the changes proposed by his transition team are said to be dramatic, including getting rid of entire departments. Departments of Commerce and Energy could see major reductions in funding. with programs under their jurisdiction either being eliminated or transferred to other agencies. The Departments of Transportation, Justice, and State would see significant cuts and program eliminations. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting would be privatized, while the National Endowment for the Arts and National Endowment for the Humanities would be eliminated entirely. Overall, the blueprint being used by the Trump's team would reduce federal spending by $10.5 trillion over 10 years. Well, that's interesting because I've seen another report where they intended to increase spending by $10.5 trillion over the next 10 years. So I don't know. You know, so
that's just
we got a blueprint.
We're
going to
cut spending.
We're going to increase spending. What are we going to do here? Trump promised to drain the swamp, and apparently he means to follow through. Some conservatives, after decades of being disappointed by Republicans, can't believe this is actually happening. As with everything else in the world in Washington, I'll hold off on popping the champagne cork until I actually see it done, writes Jazz Shaw at a publication called Hot Air. But this is the level of cutting which must eventually return us to a point beyond a balanced budget, and dare we say it, including reducing the national debt. Well, as we said earlier in the program, I don't think they can reduce the national debt so long as we have a debt-based monetary system. Now, I could be mistaken about that, but I think they have to continue to increase the debt. I think that's why they've done it. I think it's why the Republicans have given us, they give us lip service, oh, we're going to reduce the debt, but they never do. We'll see if Trump does it and it works. We'll see if it does. But as long as we have a debt-based monetary system, I think we are in danger of bigger and bigger and bigger debts until the whole thing blows up in our faces. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening to us today and during the week. And we will be back on Monday. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.